Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But we ask you to hold your calls for the time being. Hopefully my producer is going to get James Talmadge Stevens on the line. Kyle, please call Mr. Stevens and get him on the line here so we can talk to him. And, of course, we certainly want to talk to you a little bit about how you prepare for a difficult time, how you would prepare if suddenly there was a disruption of the normal delivery system within our society. We had Mr. Stevens on a number of times before Y2K. He's written a wonderful book entitled Making the Best of Basics. And the whole idea of making the best of basics is, how do you survive, if suddenly the water isn't coming out of the tap? How do you survive, if there's no food in the grocery store? And, of course, a lot of this is making preparations ahead of time for the unthinkable. You saw what happened this last week when the government came out with a phony story about a terrorist alert and moved us from yellow to orange. And, of course, they said, now, we don't want you to worry, in case there's a biological or chemical or nuclear attack, we want you to have duct tape and plastic on hand to put over your windows. And immediately, all the duct tape and plastic disappeared off shelves all across America. Now, you have to understand that this thing was staged. There was no basis for this. Just today, they have announced that the gentleman that was a member of Al-Qaeda that gave him the story didn't pass a lie detector test. And so they said, oh, well, there really wasn't really a terror alert. Now, you would think before they terrorized the entire country, they would have, of course, checked with a lie detector test first. Wouldn't you think that? Unless, of course, they were trying to terrorize the entire country. And, of course, I'd like to suggest that's exactly what they're doing. They're playing games with our minds. And it's about time the American people understood exactly what's going on in the world today. Now we're told, oh, this guy from Al-Qaeda really wasn't telling the truth. There's really not going to be a biological attack. But now we want you, of course, we don't want you to worry. I mean, the last thing in the world is we don't want you to worry. You shouldn't be worried, because when you're worried, you get more worried and you worry others. And they keep talking about worry and fear and the biological and chemical and nuclear attacks, and it's all designed to play games with your mind. And that's really what's going on today. Well, we're going to have with us in just a moment here Mr. James Talmadge Stevens, author of Making the Best of Basics, a fascinating book which you'll certainly want to consider reading so that you'll know what to do, how to make plans if there should be a real problem in this country. And I think that there is a possibility. I don't think it's going to happen now, but I think down the line, America is on the verge of an economic collapse, and of course with that could come some serious disruption of our infrastructure. We'll be back here in just a moment with Mr. James Talmadge Stevens. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest today is Mr. James Talmadge Stevens, author of Making the Best of Basics. And for our listeners out there who did not hear earlier, we mentioned that ABC has now come out and announced that, oh, this terror alert where we went from yellow to orange, well, it wasn't really real. There was a fellow that we had captured from Al-Qaeda who made the whole story up. But now, after we've terrorized the entire nation, after we've exhausted the supply of duct tape and plastic in the stores, we want you to know that there was no truth to the story at all because we gave this man from Al-Qaeda a lie detector test and he didn't pass it. Now I want to ask you something, ladies and gentlemen. I want to ask you just the logical thing. If there really was a danger of, if they really thought that there might be a danger and they had this man in captivity, why didn't they give him a lie detector test before they terrorized the whole country and moved us from a yellow to an orange alert? Ladies and gentlemen, they're playing games with us. They're playing games with our minds. It's about time you realize that. You have to understand they know how to neutralize people with fear. And they're creating that fear in the American people today. James, thank you so much for being with us today.
It's a pleasure. It's always a pleasure. Frankly, my 3M stock went up nicely. I appreciate that.
All right, fine. Well, of course, no. In fact, my son said, he said, boy, before, if we'd known that was coming, we should have bought 3M stock because it really was great. And of course, the average individual doesn't understand that so many things today are actually manipulated to create fear and uncertainty in the hearts of the American people. Because when you're fearful, you can't act, you can't think, you can't respond normally. And you certainly can't understand that this whole war we're going into, in my estimation, is contrived. And during the last hour, many of you weren't hearing that program, one of our listeners called in and asked about General Mohammad Ahmed, and he was the man, he was a Pakistani general in charge of the ISI, the Pakistan Intelligence, and she commented that there were reports on the Internet that he had financed Muhammad Atta, sent Muhammad Atta, who led the terrorists, $100,000 just a couple of weeks before the attack on 9/11. And, of course, this is widely known. It was reported by the India Times, reported all over Europe, but totally censored here in America because, after all, if this man had financed Muhammad Atta, he ought to be in prison. Well, of course, one reason he's not in prison is because on the day of the September 11th attack, he was in the United States. He was in Washington, D.C. He was meeting with leaders of our State Department and leaders of both the Congress and the Senate. But, of course, you're not going to read about that in the New York Times, the Washington Post, or the Wall Street Journal. If you want the documentation on it, we have it, of course, here at Radio Liberty. We'll be glad to provide it for you. Or go up on the Internet. You can go to the website, Infowars.com, and certainly look there under prior knowledge. You'll see the article from India Times about General Mohammad Ahmed, Chief of Pakistani Intelligence, financing terrorists who, of course, destroyed the World Trade Center. Well, right now, of course, we're talking with James Talmadge Stevens about preparation for difficult times, and we may have some difficult times ahead. So how should people begin making preparations, James, because you've been studying this for, what, 30 years now?
Book's been out 31 years now.
Uh-huh. You've sold about, what, 600,000 copies?
Close to 700,000 now.
All right, fine. And of course, the book is Making the Best of Basics. We carry the book. If you don't have it, you should. My wife's had a copy for 20 or more years, maybe even 30 years. One of the original copies, I think the sixth edition. How many printings are you in now?
Well, we've gone through 10, and we printed that 18 times.
All right, fine. I think she was the sixth printing. So Tell us, our listeners, a little bit about yourself, why you wrote the book, and what they should be doing now in preparation for the unthinkable, that we should begin to have a disruption of the infrastructure of our society.
Well, I had six kids, four of them under four when they first came along, and two more popped up later. So, I was working at that task that were middle management, but they weren't, I wasn't getting rich. And so I went back to graduate school on my GI Bill. I was regular Army, and I needed to get out of trouble. Financial trouble. I got deep into trouble in graduate school. And so I had a need, and I wrote my mom and said, Mom, send me some money. And she sent me this box by UPS or fast mail, anyway, in those days, way back then. And I just knew it was full of those dollar bills, even Confederate dollar bills that my dad had dug up from cans he always said he had in the backyard for a rainy day. And I said, there's going to be money in there. I opened it up, and it's just sheaths and sheaths of papers and handwritten recipes and pieces of paper with blotted grease spots and cake icing and all kinds of stuff. And had a note that said, son, I could send you a fish and you'd eat for a day or two, but if I'm going to send you the fishing tackle so you can learn how to fish and take care of your family. And it's just about that simple. I took this stuff, put it together, turned into a book, and the book came out just before the gas crisis. And during the gas crisis of, what, 72, 73, the book sold. And then we went into the Carter years. So the book did over a quarter of a million sales because people needed to know what to do next, and that's what the book is written about. There's no politics, there's no religion, there's no doomsday. It's just what an individual should do to prepare himself and his family for the things he cannot control. And there are only three things you can't control. That's natural disasters, man-caused disasters like Enron, and personal disasters. You know, if you have a heart attack, you can't control that, at least at the point when you have it. So if you can get control or be able to respond properly to those three kinds of disasters, it's all you can do. There is no more. So I wrote the book to solve those problems. So in Y2K, when that came along, my book was perfectly poised, having been sitting around for years and years, for a decade with almost no sales, to answer the question, what do we do now? And the book answers what to do now, whether it's Y2K or whatever it was. And by the way, everybody gets all, we get all self-righteous about saying, I told you that wasn't going to happen. It has nothing to do with it. It was a precursor to today and to tomorrow. It was an icon of things that are going to happen in the future. And this past week has been one of those gut-wrenching weeks. Everybody's concerned about this weekend. Everybody's concerned about, well, over the holidays and 4th of July and 9-1-1 and 2002, they were concerned about that again. We can just, you know, we can wear ourselves sick, or we can do what we should do on the counsel of wise people, and that is get as prepared as you can. And then you do what everybody always says, be prepared for the worst and hope for the best. Well, there's a third leg to that old dog, and that is be prepared to deal with what comes. That's what my book does. It teaches you how to deal with whatever comes.
And, of course, you were raised on a farm. Your mother was there for many years. You had to learn to make do with what you had. A lot of wonderful recipes. You know, what do you do if you have wheat? I mean, you got all this wheat stored. What do you do with it? How do you prepare it? You know, what do you do as far as beans if you have these things? If you have food stored, how do you prepare it so that you can actually eat it if there really was an emergency and you had to live on it? So you've got sections on water storage and food preparation and really all the things that everybody needs if there was a catastrophic event. And, of course, the book is entitled Making the Best of Basics. We carry it because we think it's an important book, and we certainly want you to have an opportunity to make avail yourself of this and then begin making preparations. I don't know what the future holds, but I believe America is going to be in some very real problems, mainly because I believe America has turned its back on God. And I believe God is going to turn his back on this country. And, of course, those of us who are faithful to him must be prepared to survive for no other reason than we can reach others with the truth about what's going on, the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently engaged. So why don't we start out, James, just talking about how do you store water? Because, of course, you can't survive without water. Most people think water comes out of the faucet. Well, what happens when you turn the faucet and the water doesn't come on?
Well, you wonder what you're going to do next, because water, if you're breathing, water is the next most important thing in your life. By the way, can we just make a note? Are we going to give away a book today?
I think we had two, and we gave both of them away the other night.
I think you three.
Well, if we have one more, why, we'll offer that one.
One for tonight. We reserved one for tonight.
All right, fine.
So, anyway, if you water. Water is critical to life. The problems with storing it are, one, that it is weight-intensive, so you can't live in a third-story apartment and put 10,000 gallons of water on the joist. It's, you know, you can't do that. The other is that it is very, very space-intensive. It takes up a lot of room. So what you have to do is store enough for your emergency supply. I say 14 gallons per person. That can get you through in a really dire emergency 2 weeks, not much longer than that. And then you learn how to clean up water that you can find. There's plenty of water around. We just have to be able to access it and get it through a filter. And that's the secret, is having a good filter system. I don't sell anything. Don't want anybody out there to misconstrue that whatever I say is something I sell. I sell nothing but my book. And when I talk to people, I don't endorse any brands, so I will be very frank and honest about any of them. I know most of the principals of all the companies because I've worked with them. I've gone to their places to vet them, to make sure that they meet the standards. But in talks, people ask me very frank questions. I give them very frank answers. So generally speaking, I'm pushing the concept, not the products for profit. And I want everyone to know that the most important thing they can do in getting prepared is first sit down quietly and calmly with your family, with your loved ones, and say, what are the worst things that could happen to us? It might be if you live below a dam that you're living in the wrong place. I had a guy down by the Mississippi River at a meeting. He said, I had all that stuff put together, Mr. Stevens, and you know, the water came over the levee and washed my mobile home away. And I thought, wait a minute. There were two things you did wrong. One is you didn't get a good location, and secondly is you trusted in something that wasn't firmly rooted to the ground. And that's part of planning. What can hurt you most? If you live by the Mississippi, you're going to get flooded virtually every year. If you live up in Montana on the side of a mountain, you get cold in the winter. It's just a matter of figuring out what that to which you're vulnerable. It could be a job. It could be your wife's sickness or your own sickness. It could be a lot of things. You just figure out what they are, and then you plan to your weakness. Does that make sense?
Sure does.
Okay, so if water is one of them, and it is a weakness for everyone, like you say, you turn the tap, nothing comes out. That's scary. And that's happened to me out here. I live on a well, and we got backup. But even so, you don't like the, it's hard to get water from a 55-gallon drum into a shower head. And you miss, the things you miss first are cleanliness and that comfort. We all revert to what we used to do when we get under stress. So people should remember that. Store what you eat, what you drink. Eat what you store. Eat and drink what you store. And three, learn to use it or lose it. That means don't just put it in the basement or outside in the tool shed or tool shed or out there by the water heater in the garage or in the attic. Put the food, because it's your life, where you live. Always store your food in your living area where you live so that it can be as comfortable as you are and it'll serve you well. Don't shortcut the food storage side of it. You have to know what the problems are. My book has a whole chapter on problems of storage, long-term storage. But the long-term storage should be rotated, so that you don't say at the end of 10 years, I bought that stuff back for Y2K and ain't no good no more. That won't buy it. You're supposed to rotate through it and then buy some more. That way you always have fresh stored foods.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit about water. We'll talk about food later, but let's talk about how do you store water, what's the best way to store it, how do you protect it, how do you chlorinate it. Okay. If you do chlorinate it, what about the chlorine taste? Why don't you address those issues?
Sure. Water is easily stored in plastic, food-grade 55-gallon drums, and you can buy those for $15. And I have three of them in a row in my garage, and the water just cycles through them in series. I just ran the water right into the bunghole on one side, out the bunghole on the other. So every time I turn the water on in the house, the cold water going in from the pressure tank to the rest of the house flows right through. So before it goes in the water heater, it goes to my storage. So I'm constantly circulating my water. I've got a good 200 gallons of water that I can use. That'll get me through many, many days if I take a sponge bath, and I can do that. So water has to be stored somewhere where it's safe, away from microorganisms. You do that best there are a lot of ways. You can use aerobic oxygen. There are a lot of, you can oxygenate water. That'll do it. Chlorine seems to work best because it's cheap. A couple of tablespoons goes a long way. You can do 55 gallons with just, you know, with 15 cents worth of Clorox. You have to use sodium hypochlorite, 5% Clorox, without or any other.
I'm going to have to interrupt you there, sure. James, and we'll be right back in a minute and explain to our listeners how you store water, one of the most important things if you're going to survive in difficult times. We'll be right back with our special guest, James Talmadge Stevens.
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and a few people have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first Five Wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
This is Dr. Stan here, and I just want to mention that if you feel run down, if you feel that you need more energy, have you ever considered taking Be Alive Royal Jelly? Now, I've taken this for about 10 years on my own and along with my family. We've been very, very satisfied with it, and recently the Be Alive people approached us and asked if we'd like to have them sponsor us for a month. So we certainly agreed to that because we think it's a great product, and I think you will too. Let me suggest that you call 1-866-233-7500. That's 1-866-233-7500. The product is sold with a money-back guarantee. So give them a call at 1-866-233-7500 and simply ask to learn more about Be Alive Royal Jelly. I think that you'll be very, very satisfied with this product.
Hello, this is health journalist Bill Sardi, and there's no better time to establish a biological response kit in your home. In an age when we hear about biological threats, more common are cases of E. coli in our food, cryptosporidium in our tap water, and staph germs, viruses, and molds in our air conditioning system. Why be a sitting duck and run to the doctor after you've got a problem? Why not take something to stay healthy, like Alamex, the all-new 100% pure Allicin garlic extract. You won't find Alamex in stores, but you'll find it by calling 866-405-4000. Alamex is equivalent to 15 cloves of fresh crushed garlic. And guess what? It's odor-free. Call 866-405-4000.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and then we really want to mention that we carry the Miracle 2 sub-products. We think that they're excellent. We think that many of our people who got them from us tell us all sorts of wonderful stories about how it really has helped all sorts of problems that they have. Now, we can't make any claims at all. We can only tell you that lots of people love these products, and they certainly wouldn't be without them. In fact, most of our business is return business. So if you'd like to try the Miracle 2 soap products, and that consists of a soap, a moisturizing soap, a neutralizer, a lotion, and a gel. Why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you already know about the products, why, certainly you can order them. You can order the introductory offer, in other words, one of each, and try them. Or, of course, if you prefer, you can just ask for information. We'll be glad to send it to you. That's the Miracle 2 soap products. Believe that they are beneficial. We believe that the people who use them are very, very happy with them. And, of course, we hope that you will be as well. Once again, the telephone number to call is 1-800-5-448-927. 1-800-5-HIV. War. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and our guest is James Talmadge Stevens. And now, if you're out there in the listening audience, we'd love to have you give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And the second person to call will get a copy, an autographed copy of Mr. Stevens' book, free, absolutely free. Now, so that's the second person who calls in. We'll get a free copy of the book. Otherwise, they are available by giving us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And, of course, the book is Making the Best of Basics. So you were beginning to tell us about the use of chloride or
Clorox,
Clorox product. Go ahead.
It's called sodium hypochlorite at 5% level. And if you get, you should use anybody's. I say Clorox is a name brand, but even the detractors use the same kind of formula that Clorox does. Without any detergent or any softener, water softeners or scents. You don't want any of this sweet-smelling lemon stuff in your water. So just the pure sodium hypochlorite at 5% mixture is all you need. And it only takes 1 to 2 ounces for a 55-gallon drum.
1 to 2 ounces?
Nothing. Okay. That's a jigger, you know?
Okay, fine. For the full 55 ounces. And then, of course, for the 55 gallons, I'm sorry. And then, of course, when, of course, you open it up, why, the Clorox evaporates pretty quickly.
Yeah, as you use it. In fact, if you cook with it or just stir it very, or in warm weather, it's gone very quickly.
All right, fine. Well, let's go to Jim, who's calling here from Salinas. And if you're out there, remember our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Jim. How are you doing?
Oh, trying to hang in there, Dr. Stan.
Okay, a question or comment?
Yeah, got a question. What is the best food stuff to try to use as far as storing in foods to last for a while? In other words, what's going to be the least perishable and what quantity should be stored?
All right. What is the best food products to store, and what quantity would you store there, James? Oh, how would you respond?
There are two answers. The first answer is, what do you like to eat, Jim? What do you and your family like to eat? That's what you store. You store, you eat, and you eat what you store. And you either use it or you lose it. Don't ever walk away from that paradigm. It is truthfully the only thing that makes your investment worth anything. I will admit that soy isolate, There are a lot of proteins, carbohydrates that are really good. I like popcorn, especially when it has white Swiss chocolate in it. But, you know, you can't live on that. So store what you eat. And if you're used to an all-meat diet, you better get a lot of meat.
But how can you store meat, James?
Well, freeze-dried, dehydrated. I have a lot of canned meat that I've had for years. We open it up. It's jerky, or it's jerked without being seasoned. And you can literally put it in stews and things like that, and you can't tell the difference by the time it cooks 30 minutes. So there are lots of, you learn to do those things by determining what you eat. And you can buy canned chunk beef and chunk chicken and chunk turkey and things like that and use them to build soups and dishes and, you know, with pasta, and learn how to season things so they taste good. Store what you eat. And just store more of it.
Well, now, what about things like wheat and beans and these very staples, rice?
If you don't eat a lot of bread, anything but white bread, better start finding a way to store white bread and learn how to make your own. But if you don't use whole wheat, you're not going to be able to go to a whole wheat diet without having some tremendous tummy pains and a tremendous impaction in your bowel, because the body can't handle that stuff without getting used to it. It takes some accommodation. It takes time. So we don't want to do anything extraordinary under stress, because with our bodies already reacting to fear and to stress, with all that pressure, the body doesn't work very well on new diets. People will always revert to type when they're under pressure. So store what you eat. Learn to eat. The other side of that is learn to eat good things for your body that are nutritious. Get you a good vitamin program. Get your vitamins and minerals. And put some of those in storage also. But rotate them. Use what you bought first. Use what you bought first, and use what you bought last. And that's just an easy way of doing the inventory.
Okay, fine. And so I think you would just have to decide what you want and what you want to eat. But certainly start laying in a supply. You can always eat it, but if you don't have it, well, you're going to be in real trouble. And
well,
you
won't eat things you're not used to, because it won't taste good, won't taste right, and there's no quality of life. Now you're really suffering. You know, you can go through some pretty tough times if you've got food and comfort, and somebody will say nice things to you and give you encouragement. But when you can't eat, when you're not eating right, your whole schedule, everything's off.
Okay, Jim, any other questions?
Yes, you've raised two other questions real quick.
All right, you're going to have to just hang on here, because we're going to have to go to a break, and you can hang on through the break, and then we'll be right back here at Radio Liberty with James Talmadge Stevens, his book, Making the Best of Basics. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295.
Our 4-tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination. a two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president, and then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention one of the things, if there is a problem, would be to have a good water filter. And there's something called the Big Berkey. It is actually a stainless steel water filter, uses ceramic filters full of charcoal. It's been used, actually, in one form or another, going back 180 years. It was used by missionaries in the early 1800s. And it still is really the standard as far as water filtration. It filters out a bacteria and cholera and various of the fungal types of organisms. And if you'd like to learn more about this very, very effective product, you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Now, ordinarily, they're $279. We sell them for $239.95 plus shipping. And if you buy them through us, we'll give you any two of our four-tape sets without charge. But let me simply point out that, of course, they're not available at the present time in California or Iowa. If you are interested in some sort of a water filter of this sort, you give us a call, and we'll put you on a list. But we'll talk to you about the other alternatives. But the Big Berkey is available across America right now through Radio Liberty, or $239.95, and give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Then, of course, if you're interested in the Robinson homeschool curriculum, so you can get your children educated from grammar school through high school graduation for $199.95, and the only textbooks you have to buy are the Saxon math textbooks, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for the Robinson homeschool curriculum. 32 CDs, and the entire curriculum is right there. Give us a call right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and we've got Jim calling from Salinas. And Jim, you had another question?
Yes.
Go ahead.
He raised two questions in my mind. One, what is the maximum shelf life for canned items, for example, Campbell's soups or Franco-American spaghettis or Chef Boyardee raviolis, things like that? And two, he also mentioned something about a whole wheat diet and stomach distress, and that's something I never heard before. Could he elaborate on that?
All right, let's take what is the average shelf life for the various Campbell soup products and things of that sort?
That's tough. I have a whole chapter on that, and I've got massive detail. Typically, tomato-based products are 6 months to a year, depending on the temperature at which you keep it. Sauerkraut has a very short shelf life because the chemicals within are working against that tin coating constantly. Grapefruit juice, pineapple juice don't have long shelf lives either because of the high acid content. So I'll give you broad rules. High acid content products, 3 to 6 months. If a lid swells, if a can swells so that it starts to get round at the end, at the sealed end, it's best to throw them away or give them to a soup kitchen. Soup kitchen cooks know how to deal with that because they get a lot of food given to them that's marginal. They know how to mix it. Food loses flavor. It loses first its prime nutrition. It loses flavor, and then it loses its density. So those are the things you want to watch out for. Products that have a soup base in them don't store too much longer than 2 years. So if you, my book, chapter 2, has total detail for thousands of items as to how long they can be stored. And then their it tells you you can go to a certain website and look that up at the manufacturer too. They have a long list of that.
Okay, fine. Now, what about the wheat diet? You were mentioning that people have they're going to be using cracked wheat or wheat cereals or whole wheat bread, and they're not used to it. They can get some problems.
It's just it's the same theory, the same reality of beans. Not theory, it's reality. Beans have a lot of protein in them. The older they get, the more the protein gets locked. And the enzymes, there are no enzymes in beans. That's why they give us the gas. If you will sprout beans, it begins to be live food, and then not only has 100 times the nutrition of the dried bean, but it also the enzymes go to work because it's a live food now, and you don't get the burps and you don't get the intestinal noise.
So
wheat will do the same thing to you because your body isn't used to absorbing and digesting that very complex protein.
Okay, I hope that answers your question for you, Jim, and thanks so much for calling. And incidentally, of course, free dries food is a great way to go, and if you need information on that, you can call us off the air at 800-544-8927, and we'll get back in touch with you on information on freeze-dried food, okay?
Okay, thank you very much,
Dr. Stan. Thank
you
so much. Let's go to Daryl calling in from Pennsylvania, and Daryl has won the free copy, autographed copy of Making the Best of Basics. And Kyle, if you'll be sure to get Daryl's telephone number and address so we can send him that free book. And if you're out there in the listening audience, remember our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Daryl, a question or comment?
Yes, sir, Dr. Stan, and I'm a 20-year military veteran, so what interests me is if you're forced away from your home and you don't have, you can't have access to the things you've stored, does his book at all get into surviving off the land, you know, like distilling water, catching rainwater? Does he have any chapters on that?
No, I don't. The book was written for the urban dweller, since 85% of us live inside in the interurban area. Ragnar Benson and 25 other people have written the Foxfire books and things like that. When I wrote the book, I wrote it to the mass, because they're the ones who have the greatest fear, not having any skills or knowledge. So you don't have to know how to go out and shoot an animal and skin it in order to be able to survive. And I use the word survival in its grand sense. You know, I survived the freeway traffic and got home without getting killed. I survived another week and got a paycheck. That, too, is survival. Living from day to day is survival. I think the government gave it a bad spin, just like they gave Y2K a bad spin, just like they give anything that's appropriate, that's spiritual, or that is good for man, good for the citizens. They give it a bad spin to make you ashamed to be a part of it, which is a little sick, but, you know, we live with it. But I'll leave all that stuff to Dr. Stan. The point is, you need to have you can have a couple of weeks' supply of cancer. I know you can't ship it all around because they won't pay for it. I live in San Antonio. I know the military situation. So, you can have enough to get you through a couple of weeks of cancer.
I think maybe Daryl is talking about if, he was forced to leave his home. Was that what you were talking about, Daryl?
Well, right, for sure. But even if you're not forced to leave your home, if you're living in a city, you may well be caught in where you can't get out of the city, and you're caught in the situation where catching rainwater or distilling water may save your life if you don't have anything stored. And that's what I was wondering.
This is not a book on that sort of survival. This is how you survive in the city. There are many other books on that. Anything
but only if you have stored goods, then.
Right, right. Anything else you'd like to add?
I'd just like to remind everybody, Dr. Stan, that you've got a ton of great books, audio tapes, video tapes, and all kinds of packets on a whole range of subjects. And I urge them to go up and look on your great website, radioliberty.com. And a very big thank you to you and Barbara for all the hard work you do and the folks that are with you.
Thanks very much, Daryl.
God bless you.
God bless you, too. Bye-bye. Okay, our guest this evening is James Talmadge Stevens, and our telephone. Daryl, call back in because we will send you a copy of the book if you'd like. We happen to lose Daryl. I pushed the wrong button, but Daryl, if you want to call back, we'll get you a copy of the book that you will get. Anyway, now some of the other things that we've talked about, you actually have a lot of recipes on what to do with wheat in the book, don't you?
Right. In fact, I have 5 chapters on wheat because it is the greatest grain ever given to man. It is the number one grain in every country in the world. And so I have, starting out with just the whole berry, the whole wheat berry, and start out with how to use that, how then to cook bulgur, make bulgur from it, which is a big item in Eastern countries, in the Near East, and also in the Far East. There's a chapter also on basic whole wheat, how to grind whole wheat and use it, and then it just keeps breaking the wheat down till it gets the white flour, which is, and they have an interesting chapter on white flour. There are recipes. These are recipes I grew up on. I gave them some jazzy names, but they're the kind of recipes that you can cook in pots, you can cook in the oven, cook on top of the stove. Everything from pretzels to crackers and muffins and applesauce cake and things like that that I grew up on. But I grew up on wheat, so it was I couldn't go back now to whole wheat without some couple of weeks of getting used to it a little bit at a time.
All right. Of course, you can have whole wheat bread and whole wheat porridge. And
cereal for breakfast, right. Porridge, yeah, whatever you want to call it.
And this really has been called the staff of life, and it's something that is something that you can store. You can store it for indefinite periods of time. It was even certainly wheat that was in the pyramids. It was taken out. It would still sprout. It's an amazing, amazing product. And you can store it as long as you don't get it too hot or keep it dry.
Keep it dirt, too, That's the nice thing about it. But the recipe on whole wheat flour cookery tells you how to bake whole wheat, because usually it's done from scratch. Also, I tell you how to make sugar from wheat.
You can make sugar from wheat?
You can make sugar from wheat that you can use in cooking.
I've never even heard of that. Well,
tell Barbara to tell you about it. It's on page 97.
All right. Well, Barbara's, of course, my wife has one of these. She's had it for many years. And just all sorts of fascinating things on storage and recipes and everything you really would need to know if you got into a difficult situation. You make the preparations now, and then, of course, if you ever have to use these products, why, of course, the information is there now. How about rice? What about storing of rice?
Ben, that's the wrong paradigm. You never not have to use it. You're going to use it all the time.
All right.
Accustomed to it. Now, don't lead them down the wrong path. Buy this and put it in the garage and put it out in the basement, down the basement, or in the back bedroom not to use. You're going to rotate through it and learn how to use it and enjoy it. And if you find out you don't like hominy in number 10 cans, don't buy any more. So you're going to learn. Okay, what was your question?
No, of course, what about rice?
Rice, the easiest way to store rice is to buy parboiled or minute rice, any store brand rice that's pre-cooked, so that's instant rice is what you buy. It's dead, can't hurt it except by getting it wet. Just store it that way. The ants don't even want it. I mean, the rats don't even need it. But it will fill your belly, keep your backbone from rubbing against your belly button.
But of course, if you're going to just have plain white rice, you've got to have vitamins and minerals to go along with it.
That's correct.
Because there's not a lot of nutritional value,
That's correct. Well, it may be in it. By the time you boil it a few minutes, it's gone, and it's artificially implanted. But the point is, it's a bulk item that you can put gravy on or juices or something on top of, put it in soup. There are 100 uses for rice other than just, rice pudding.
All right, fine. Well, let's go to Jeannie, who's calling in here from Aptos. Hi, Jeannie. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I'm a bread maker. I love to make bread.
If anything bad happens, I want you to come over and visit us, and you can make all the bread you want to.
You make the soup, and I'll make the bread.
All right, fine.
Well,
Barbara will make the soup, and then you make the bread, and we can have I love a soup with bread in it.
Yeah, a lot of vitamins. But I have a great recipe. It's called Anadama bread. But it takes cornmeal and white flour, and wondering how you store cornmeal and then the white flour.
Cornmeal isn't really hard to store. I keep it even down here with the humidity we have in San Antonio. I buy the 2 pound, and I put them in a large bag, a large plastic bag that seals, and I just put them in the cabinet. It stays because it's already cracked and it got heated during the cracking process. They've removed the coating off of it so that the oil is gone. So it stores. You can store it up to a year. Mm-hmm. I keep my the fine ground for the my pizza pans in the, I only use a pound of that a year. I keep that in the refrigerator.
Now, what about white flour?
White flour is dead when it hits the shelf. 36 hours after it's ground, it's dead once they crack the wheat germ. So, and then they fortify it. So any way you can store it to keep the weevil out of it is good. I use number 10 cans and airless packets. In fact, this next Thursday night I'm going to put up some oatmeal, even though I don't like to keep it. I like to grind my own. Everything I can keep in the natural, as close to the ear, as close to the bush as possible, is how I store it, because I just dried in my, I have a dryer.
Mm-hmm.
It's an Excalibur. It's an excellent machine, and it does a great job. And I just, anything we don't eat, including turkey at Christmas and Thanksgiving, goes on the shelf, gets dried, sealed in a plastic bag, and the, I use the heavier-duty freezer bags. And you can store the stuff on the shelf in a house that doesn't get much over 70 degrees for a year or two. I have fish that I dried in 1998 that we're just now eating. Dried fish, it's excellent.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks so much, Jeannie. Okay, fine. And, of course, there are all sorts of recipes. I think that's one of the major strengths of this book is all the recipes you have to do with all of these various products that you have. And of course, you have to have some idea. Most people are not prepared. We're so used to going down to the store and buying it off, the ready-made macaroni and cheese and of course, the Betty Crocker cakes. And
sure.
But, of course, what happens when they're not there? And what about for some of the other items that, we would certainly want to have? What about things of preparing beans? Would you soak those ahead of time before you...
you want to sprout them. In fact, if you could live off sprouts, I advise people for a health regimen, those who say, I don't want to take artificial vitamins, learn how to sprout. You can buy a year's supply of sprouts for about $165 for a family of two. That's pretty cheap eating. And except for maters and taters, I always tell people, remember, maters and taters, you do not sprout. They're poisonous to the human body. But everything else, you can sprout. And if you sprout kale, it tastes like kale. And if you sprout spinach, it tastes like spinach, because they are just little seedlings. They are just little miniature plants. And you can sprout alfalfa for cheap, I mean like 10 cents a serving. You know, when you go to one of those all-you-can-eat salad bars, everybody always wants to get as much alfalfa as they can because it tastes so good, has such a rich taste. But they don't do it at home. All it takes is a quart jar, a little piece of gauze or screen wire or pantyhose, top of pantyhose, and you just screw a lid on with the ring on without the lid, and you can sprout in 2.5 days. You can sprout, if you get started 2.5 days at a time, do a quart a day, you will have more sprouts than you can ever eat for a few people. And it's amazing. Use it for lettuce. Instead of lettuce, a lot more nutritious than iceberg lettuce, which has no nutrition whatsoever for the human body. There's just so many tricks to this. There's so many answers to the questions of how do I stay nutritious? How do I store a lot of stuff in a small place? Sprouting is the easy way to do it, because all you need is a little water, a little thyme, rinse it 3 times a day, soak it overnight, then rinse it 3 times a day for 2-3 days, and you've got food to eat. Just eat right out of the jar.
And it's just sprouts, and of course, for some way or other, why it has all sorts of vitamins and minerals that you wouldn't get out of just eating the beans by themselves. Is that right?
If you could take broccoli sprouts are the highest form of pure nutrition that you can get. It's supposed to be an anti-cancer agent. Tremendous product. Very expensive seed, but you have to get seeds that are for sprouting, not for planting. And you can buy that at Whole Food stores. There are places, if you type sprouts in on the internet, it will run out and find 150, 200 places that are vendors of just sprout seeds by mail. And they are for sprouting. It's the most inexpensive way, the least expensive way, to have food, real food, not MREs, not processed junk to store it, has plastic in it. We're talking about real live food that is good to eat. I mix mine with popcorn and put in some of my homemade blue cheese dressing just to sit there and eat popcorn and mix them together. It's a great salad.
All right.
Popcorn's cheap to store and easy to make.
All right, fine. Well, we're just about out of time. What are your parting thoughts for our listeners?
Do it now. You know, preparedness is a state of being ready for things that you may perceive or may not. And change your paradigms. You're not storing food in desperation. you're planning to be able to live a near normal existence, regardless of what occurs around you, whether in your jurisdiction or not, and that you want to make your home your personal convenience store, not a bunker, a convenience store that has all the things that you would love to sit down and eat when you had the time. In other words, you'd be able, when everybody else is in dire need, you don't know, you're on a vacation in your home. That's simple.
Could you believe that there was an organized effort to dumb down?
Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment here with our special guest, James Talmadge Stevens. Well, I guess we're out of time. James, thank you so very much for being with us.
What a delight.
And thank you, and we'll look forward to having you with us again in the not too
distant
future.
Let's do it again when you have the time.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when I want to mention some of the other items that we carry that we hope that you'll give some serious consideration to getting. And, of course, one of those we'll be back here in just a moment to tell you about some of the items that we have here at Radio Liberty, which we hope that you'll be seriously considering getting. And certainly one of these is the Phonopoly. If you have children in government schools, why, we hope that you will seriously consider getting this. It's a program that teaches children how to read phonetically, how to spell phonetically, how to pronounce words phonetically. And, of course, it is available in actually 5 board games and 2 bonus games. And then, of course, we throw in a couple of books with this that explains to you there's been an organized effort to dumb down the children of the United States, and they've done an excellent, excellent job on that. And, of course, they've been teaching our children how to read the wrong way. They knew it was a system that didn't work, and they did it anyway. So if you'd like to get the Phonopoly, why, it's $139.95. It's 5 board games, 2 bonus games, and 2 books. And, of course, children use this, they play it like they do Monopoly. And, of course, at the end of about 16 to 20 hours, they know the 40 sounds of the English language. They know the 12 basic rules of the English language, and young children really enjoy it. Young adults enjoy it. Old adults enjoy it. Everybody who uses this program, really, so far as we know, has always been very pleased with it. Let me suggest you give us a call, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Most of these programs are $300 or $400. This one is $139.95. So give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now.
Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City? Well, a very important video is the cover-up in Oklahoma City. It really consists of film clips that were actually taken from video footage shot during the first 2 or 3 days after the bombing. And you'll actually hear the commentators in Oklahoma City talking about the second bomb, the third bomb that had been disarmed. Now, if they were actually disarming bombs there, why didn't we hear that throughout the rest of the country? You'll actually hear an interview with one of the gentlemen who was in the Murrah building at the time that the bomb went off, and he had time then to jump underneath his desk before the glass blew in from outside. Obviously, there were 2 bombs, 1 inside, 1 outside. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, if we were lied to about Oklahoma City and about what really happened there, if there really was a bomb inside as well as outside, why, of course, can we believe anything we've been told about what happened on September 11th? Cover up of Oklahoma City is a very, very important video. It's actually the film footage shot in Oklahoma City on the day of the attack, totally suppressed across America, so that it was never seen any other place. How could they do that? Very simply, they control the medium, and so much of what you hear on your local television is what they want you to hear, and the truth sometimes is very, very elusive. So remember, cover up in Oklahoma City. It's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Now, if you'd like to get the book we've been talking about during this last hour, it's Making the Best of Basics by James Talmadge Stevens. It's available out through Radio Liberty, and we just got in a new supply just because I feel that this is a good time, if you don't already have this information, to have it and start making preparations. Don't make panic preparations. If you'd like to know about freeze-dry food, you can give me a call through our exchange. Just ask to talk to me. I'll give you a call back and tell you where you can actually order. We'll send you a catalog. And having a supply of freeze-dry food on hand, I think, is a very smart thing to do, especially at times like this, in a nation that's turned its back on God. And then, of course, this is the time when we want to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported. If you believe there's a problem out there and you'd like to be part of our effort to educate the American people, if you believe we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political and ideological and cultural battlefield, why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And for a suggested gift of at least $20 a month, or more, as much as you can afford, you'll get our four best tapes of the month. You'll get our monthly newsletter. But more than that, you'll be helping us as we reach out across America 5 hours every day on radio, 5 hours on the Internet, 3 hours on satellite, and soon to be 5 hours on satellite, 2 hours on shortwave, and, of course, bringing the news behind the news, the story behind the story. And as you know, our Saturday program goes to about 34 stations, 34 to 35 stations. Our other weekend program, and we'll be doing one tomorrow on KSCO here in the Central Coast of California, reaches all up and down the coast, a great, great signal. But all of this is expensive. We have to buy time on the stations. But we do this because we feel that the American people do not get the truth. Why, of course, there's no hope for this country. And, of course, our job is to try to make people understand the true nature of the battle in which we're engaged, and hopefully to turn many of the people here towards the Lord and to strengthen the faith of the people who already do believe, and, of course, to help them to prepare for the difficult times that lie ahead. And get out the revelation of John and read the Revelation 6 about the four horsemen of the apocalypse. I fear that those four horsemen have been released on the earth today, and we're in for some terrible, terrible, terrible times. And everybody says, oh, well, nothing bad will ever happen in America. We'll be raptured out before anything bad happens. And all I can say is, where in the Bible does it say that Americans are not going to have to suffer? Where does it say that the rapture is going to happen before America, before this wonderful country that we've lived in for so long is ultimately destroyed? And the people are simply destroyed right along with it, or many of the people. And Christians are suffering throughout the world today in many of the countries that are supported by your tax dollars. And, of course, the horrors that are going on in the Sudan today are financed by the money that's raised on American financial markets. China Petrol came in and raised some $3 to $5 billion that's been used to drill oil there to finance the Muslim government that's liquidated over 1.5 million Christians and of course supports slavery and really all sorts of horrible, horrible things, atrocities being carried out against the Christians with the full support of your tax dollars. Well, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for our leaders. We ask you to pray for our ministers. We ask you to pray for revival, because if we don't turn back to God, God will turn his back on America. And pray for Radio Liberty. We'll be back on Monday. Until then, may the Lord be with you.
Hi, Jim. How are you doing?
Okay.